And we will hear that new life so beautifully sung for us now from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, this morning, beginning in the first verse. And as you're able, I invite you to stand for the reading of the Gospel. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given. It will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God." Please be seated. As we come before God's word today, we continue to consider what it is and what does it mean that Jesus is our bridge to life. Sometimes we confuse what it is that God does and what it is that we do. I was watching the first round of the NFL draft earlier this week, and one of the players who wasn't expected to make it in the first round, or at least quite possibly wouldn't, because of an injury to his back, and although it had healed, they thought it would be too much of a risk for him to get called into service in that first round. And yet he was. And so he was thrilled, of course. And when they were interviewing him, he said this. He said, and it's a word that I hear all the time these days, and he said, "I manifested the healing of my back with my mind." And as he went on to speak, and God bless him, he thanked God for that. But this idea that we have the ability to manifest and create in the same way that God does, as opposed to being made in the image of God, sometimes and oftentimes, as we see it in our culture today, can cause us trouble. But it's not just in our culture today. We've been doing this for a long time. Back in Genesis chapter 15, God reminded Abraham, or soon to be Abraham, that he would be a father of many people, a father of a great nation. In fact, almost the whole chapter was God reminding Abram, now soon to be Abraham, of this promise. So you know what happened in chapter 16? Abraham thought, you know, I think God is going to need some help with this. And he and Sarah came up with a plan that Sarah first suggested. You know, we can accomplish this promise of God by you having a child with our servant Hagar. And Ishmael would be born. And then later, God, who all along planned to keep his promises, would have them give birth, Sarah and Abraham, that is, to Isaac. And the trouble that would ensue from the very beginning, because they decided to do what was God's promise for them instead of receiving that gift and living into it. They tried to manifest God's promise by their own power. And it ended up causing all kinds of trouble. We do that in all kinds of ways. When we look into our lives for a real life, a real identity, and we decide that, well, what I need to do is manifest my own identity and decide who I am. And what we learned last week, that when humanity does that, that it often produces sin because we take on the role of God instead of being the folks made in the image of God. And so the wages of our sin today and through the ages has been death. But Jesus has something else to offer us. You see, as we've examined this bridge of life, what we do often leads to death. But what God does, what He brings, is a gift for us to receive. A gift that Abraham and Sarah would receive, not manifest themselves. And then were then called to live into that blessing and be a blessing to others. What God does is He gives us a true sense of our, as one scholar put it, our real selves. Thinking about these texts today, both from 2 Corinthians and John 15, we remember today that God invites us to abide and receive this gift. I'll tweak what Dan Weber, and talking about this text in John 15, summarizes as bearing fruit flows from abiding. I'll take his phrase and change it a little bit as we see our identity being formed by Christ, and remember that our real selves, our real life that we long for and desire, it flows. The truth of a real identity, a real life, flows from abiding in Christ. So if we want to discover our real self and who we really are, then we need to come to Christ, who, as we'll hear again in 2 Corinthians, tells us that for all those in Christ Jesus, the old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. And as the Gospel of John will explain, when we go off on our own and make our own path, our own way, our manifest our own reality or identity, we're like branches who have cut themselves off from the vine and no longer abide. And when those branches are cut from the vine, they wither and they die. And so we discover in this reading today that we cannot sanctify ourselves. I like how Gerhard Ferdi, the very well-known Lutheran theologian, put it like this. When trying to help his friend who was going through an identity crisis, and so his friend decided that, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cut myself off from all of the constructs of this society that say I have to be like this, or have a job like that, or be in a family life like this. He said these constructs are too confining. Or as what Gerhard Ferdi said at the time that he first told this story, this man had become a beatnik, right? And this man thought he could find freedom by manifesting his own path. Ferdi will speak and write that we cannot sanctify ourselves either by being good or by being bad, by meekly submitting to the given structures or by revolting against them. For the reality is, as the gospel declares, it is God's gift. That's what Abraham and Sarah discovered. That's what we need to discover and remember. And we do that when we hear this word in John 15 today. katharos, translated a couple different times, both as prune or to clean. It's interesting that when we read this text, we discover that Jesus, as you read right away, is pruning us, the vine dresser is, but verse 3 then says, but you are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. That word for clean is the same word used for prune here. And guess who's doing both the declaration of cleaning and the continual pruning? The vine dresser, the one true God. As I reflected on this dual reality in this text, both the cleaning declaration and the pruning, reminded me of how we understand what God does for us. It's not what we manifest that makes us justified with God. It's what Jesus has done on the cross and he declares. We call that in Christian theology, justification. And so in verse 3, he declares to his disciples, you are clean. But there's also a process that God does in our lives of repentance and restoration and redemption. We call that sanctification. And here we see it called pruning in John 15. And so I think it's important to note, who does the justification? Who does the sanctification? Who does the declaration of being clean? Who does the pruning? It's both God. God does this work in your life and in mine. God does this. He is the bridge to life. And it's important to note at this point, as scholar Bachman and Bombero and others will report, that we need to know who's doing this. The Old Testament background here in John 15 is huge, in particular from Psalm 80, that informs us about the vine as a powerful image for God and the people of Israel. So when Jesus declares himself to be the true vine in verse 1, he identifies himself as the true Israel. Once again, who Jesus is as Yahweh. When he says, I am the vine, he is the one true God from beginning to end. He is the bridge of life then and now. Bachman will go on to write, whereas the Father formerly tended ethnic Israel as his vine, he now tends those who are united to Christ by faith. We're grafted in to God's people by Christ. God does this. He declares our justification and says, you're clean, katharos. And he also continues in process of sanctification, of forgiving and restoring. And what happens when God does this? Our real selves are revealed. Our real self, our real life flows from abiding in Christ. With that declaration, with that sanctification, with that word of cleansing, that word of pruning, God does this. Jesus is the one true God from beginning to end. It's not something that just came later in the church. It's who he is and what he does. And as he applies it to us, our lives are transformed. When we're connected to the vine, it turns out bearing fruit is not optional. We don't bear fruit to get connected. We bear fruit because we are connected. And so God is at work through us, giving us our real life, our real selves, and making us a new creation in Him. And when He does that, we can't help but want to share it, even as hard as it may be, as difficult of a season as it might be right now. To share the gospel in this secular world, God is calling us, when we're connected to Him, to bear fruit. It's just the natural outgrowth of being with Him and abiding in Him and discovering our real selves and our real life. No matter how challenging or how big the job may be. I like the story, maybe you've heard of it, of the young boy at the beach who, after the tide came in and out, it forced a whole group, hundreds of starfish, to be abandoned on the beach and unable to get back to the water. And so this young boy started walking along the beach and throwing those starfish back into the surf. And a gentleman saw him a little ways off and said, "Son, what are you doing there? You're never going to, there's just too many of them. You can't get this done. You can't get this job done." Boy only smiled and grabbed another starfish and said, "Well, I can save this one," and threw it in. God will deal with the numbers and the magnitude of the task. When we abide in Him, He bears much fruit, and so our job is to live as He calls us, to have our real life as He designed, and share the good news of the gospel. By the way, after sharing this story at the 5 o'clock service, one wise member said, "You know, you should change that story. You need to have the little boy tell that man who was hollering down at him, 'Why don't you come down here and help me?'" Because God is calling us to bear fruit because we are abiding in Him. As difficult as the task might seem in this secular age, God will deal with the challenge. I was reading in a history book about the church in the United States, about what the church was like during the Revolutionary period. And it kind of surprised me because you might remember not long ago we heard in the news the staggering statistic that now here in the United States, church affiliation and membership is now lower than 50%. I think it was 47%. But did you know that in revolutionary times that number was only 1 in 5? 20% claimed a church affiliation then. God has been at work sharing the gospel in our nation. Whatever the numbers may be, He is calling us to abide in Him. And when we abide in Him, we can't help but bear fruit. He does the manifesting. He keeps the promises. We're called to be ambassadors for Christ because He, as we keep reading in 2 Corinthians, we're ambassadors because He has done this. He has made the old pass away, and behold, the new come. And so we've learned over these last couple weeks to be prepared to share this testimony. As we've examined, why does humanity need Jesus? And we've memorized scripture from Romans 6, "For the wages of sin is death." But what does Jesus offer instead? We learn then and now. It's eternal life. It's the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. This is what God offers, our real life. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. This is what Jesus offers. This is what God does. Those who are cleaned will also receive the pruning and bear fruit. So who is waiting for you to share this good news with today? Who's on your heart to share this gospel message? Maybe write down their names in your bulletin this morning, right next to the scripture there, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And pray for them. Maybe the Lord is leading you to have a conversation with them. But as you pray, you can trust that God will keep his promises. Maybe the Holy Spirit is touching your heart to a real identity in Christ that comes not from your manifestation or the world's, but from him. To return and remain and abide in him. Whether it's a return or coming to him for the first time, know that we're here for you. That's why we walk this Jesus-shaped path together with God and with each other, to cheer each other on, to pray for each other, to walk in Bible study or in service or in fellowship. And as we bear fruit, we share it with the people we encounter. And so today, dear friends, I invite you to remember that Jesus is the bridge of life, to remain in him, to abide in him, that the reality of your identity is found in nowhere else. Your true, your most real self is found in Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. Amen.